Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, chapter 6, text number 9. The verse is in prose, so I'll just read it. It's quite a long Sanskrit verse.
Yasya kilanu charitam upakarnya konkavenka kutakanam rajarhan namo pashika shiksha kalava dharma utkrishyamane bhavitavayena vimohitaha svadharma patham akuto bhayam apaya kupatta pakhandam asamangjasam nijamanishaya manda sampravartayishyate.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, the king of Konka, Venka, and Kutaka, whose name was Arhat, heard of the activities of Rishabhdev, and imitating Rishabhdev's principles, introduced a new system of religion. Taking advantage of Kali Yuga, the age of sinful activity, King Arhat, being bewildered, gave up the Vedic principles, which are free from risk, and concocted a new system of religion opposed to the Vedas. That was the beginning of the Jain Dharma. Many other so-called religions followed this atheistic system. Purport. When Sri Krishna was present on this planet, a person named Pondraka imitated the four-handed Narayan and declared himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He desired to compete with Krishna. Similarly, during the time of Lord Rishabhdev, the king of Konka and Venka acted like a Paramahansa and imitated Lord Rishabhdev. He introduced a system of religion and took advantage of the fallen condition of the people in this age of Kali. It is said in Vedic literatures that people in this age will be more inclined to accept anyone as the Supreme Lord and accept any religious system opposed to Vedic principles. The people in this age are described as manda sumanda mataya. Generally, they have no spiritual culture, and therefore they are very fallen. Due to this, they will accept any religious system. Due to their misfortune, they forget the Vedic principles. Following non-Vedic principles in this age, they think themselves the Supreme Lord and thus spread the cult of atheism all over the world. So I'm sorry that Jananivas Prabhu is not here. I was rushing to come to the class so I could hear Jananivas Prabhu, but apparently he was out very late, so. We hope tomorrow then he'll give class so we can hear. So this is a subject matter which Srila Prabhupada was very fond of discussing due to the fact that in Kali Yuga it is such a widespread phenomena that people declare to become, to be God, or that someone in particular he creates a following, declaring himself God, exhibits perhaps some mystic power, or imitates some incarnation of God, and thus gathers a following of foolish people who have no basis or no grounding in Vedic culture or Vedic knowledge, and that they foolishly accept him to be God. Because underlying their willingness to accept such a person as God is the fact that they may also, generally speaking, these incarnations, they tell their followers that also they can become God. So this is naturally very attractive because, as we know, the reason that everyone comes to this material world, that all of us have come to this material world, is just for that reason, just to somehow or other take the position and imitate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to envy of the position of Krishna. So if someone tells you, yes, you're right, this is actually, you may not feel like it right now, but if you follow me and follow this process, you will realize that actually you are what you hoped you would be. You actually are the God that you hoped you would be. So naturally, because people are looking for that, they're hoping for that, they're trying with all of their might and all of their energy to achieve that. If someone tells them that it's just around the corner, then naturally they'll be very enthusiastic to follow. And generally speaking, these people don't require their followers to follow any regulative principles or restrictions on sense gratification. So it's just what they were hoping for. They can continue trying to enjoy sense gratification, and the ultimate material pleasure, they can think themselves to be the supreme. They can fall into such a gross illusion to think themselves the supreme, which is the greatest intoxication. Just like if you see a very intoxicated person, he's actually thinking, due to the intoxication of some very strong drug, he's lying in the gutter, he's lying just on the street like any unfortunate, poor person. But he's actually thinking, due to that influence of intoxication, he's actually thinking that he's having very amazing realizations and visions of higher reality, or visions of himself as being God. I don't know if I told this story here, but I always remember in this regard that a very graphic example or experience that we had in our temple in Boston many years ago. And it wasn't the present temple, it was the temple before that. And there was one boy who was coming regularly to the temple, seemed to be a nice boy, he was chanting and taking interest in Krishna consciousness. But then one day he came to the temple under the influence of a very strong, powerful, hallucinogenic intoxication. And he came into the prasadam room and sat down, and we could see that he was in a very intoxicated condition, and he began to sit down like in a meditative posture, and at a certain point he began to declare, "I am God. I am God." And then he was very, actually quite a powerful person. Unfortunately, he was very muscular and very strong. And so it was a little bit of anxiety for the devotees. Because if he loses his mind, or it goes completely crazy, he may smash everything. So, but he continued declaring himself to be God. And so we called the ambulance. They have that thing in the West, I don't know if they have that here, that's called a straight jacket. You know what is a straight jacket? It's a special coat they bring for crazy people. You put your arms in the sleeves like this, and then it ties around the backside like that. So they nicely put your coat on, and then they tie your arms around the back like this. It's called a straight jacket. So we called the ambulance and tell them we have a crazy person here. And in the meanwhile, about four of us, we picked him up and took him out onto the front lawn, the front outside the temple, and placed him there. But what was interesting, at that point, he was so convinced of his godhood that he began to say, "Now, the sun, I am moving the sun. The sun is now moving by my control." And he was convinced that, yes, now I'm moving the sun. See how the sun is moving? I'm moving the sun. And our Mr. God, as he was moving the sun, the ambulance arrived and put his nice little jacket on and wrapped him up and put him in the ambulance and took him away. And that was the end of the newly declared God. He was to be found in the hospital. And I'm sure when the effects of the intoxication wore off, I'm sure he was kind of, I don't remember seeing him again though. But this is quite a common thing. So the intoxication of material life is so strong that it can convince anyone. Then when someone can just comes along and says, yes, you actually are God, then it's the greatest intoxication. It's just like taking an intoxication. That's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one should absolutely avoid hearing Mayavadi philosophy, that it's death to our devotional life to hear Mayavad philosophy, because it's like an intoxication. It's so attractive. And due to the fact that we are here within this material world, we are under the influence of material nature, it was our desire at some point, it was our desire to imitate the position of Krishna. So therefore, even if we're practicing devotional service, if that desire, just like if some lady tries to attract brahmachari, or just if someone offers you some very nice sense gratification, it's the same thing. If someone proposes this idea, if it enters into our mind that yes, you can become God and you can be the Supreme, you don't have to serve the Supreme, you can be the Supreme, then that can bewilder our consciousness, bewilder our mind. So in this case, this king, he was a king, just like Pondraka was a king, and naturally kings already become very easily proud because everyone is serving you, worshipping you, following your orders. So it's naturally a dangerous position as King Pondraka, because he had some kingly power. He became under illusion and thought that he was, Krishna is another king, Vasudeva is another king, and I'm also a king. So I am just as powerful as him. I can defeat him. So he's saying he's Narayan and I'm Narayan. Why I can't be Narayan? If he's Narayan, he just looks like a king just like me, so let me challenge him. And as we know, the funny story that when they brought, the messenger brought the challenge to Krishna and read off his declaration and challenge to Krishna in Krishna's court, he was declaring, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you should surrender to me and give up all of your symbols of Vishnu. And it said that after reading, so are you finished with your word? And then everybody started, Krishna started laughing and laughing and laughing. And all of the assembly, they were laughing. It said for a long time, they were laughing and laughing. It was just so ridiculous. His proposal was so ridiculous that everyone was laughing and laughing and laughing. And Krishna was laughing. And then at the end, then Krishna became very serious and said, I will give up my symbols of Vishnu, especially my chakra, which I will use to cut off your head. I think he said some other quite, I can't remember the exact words. He said some other quite insulting, heavy things about Pondraka. And then he promptly, as we know, Krishna promptly took off with all of his soldiers, which were not even necessary. He just, and then they met Pondraka, and it's described that when Pondraka came on the battlefield, said we could easily see that it was, he had practically two extra arms pasted on his back. He said it was very obviously an imitation, that he had these two like cardboard arms stuck on his back just to try to imitate. And so again, everyone, all of Krishna and all of his associates, they were all laughing to see such a foolish imitation. So that's how it is, that someone who is, if one knows the glories of Krishna, knows of his opulences and his powers and his unlimited, and even just a part, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, that just by a mere fragment of my opulences, I pervade and maintain this whole cosmic manifestation. Just with just a tiny fragment of my powers, my opulences, I'm sustaining this whole universe. So if one, that's why it is so important to hear Bhagavad Gita with great attention and understand the position, the actual position of Krishna. Who is Krishna? What are his powers and opulences and all-pervading control over everything? And if we're fully versed in Vedic knowledge of the position of Krishna, then we'll never be illusioned by some imitation God. But because people have no idea who is God, then someone, as Prabhupada said, that someone is making a little piece of gold and declaring himself God. But they never stop to ask, well, who is the creator of all the gold and all the gold mines? He's making one little piece of gold, and he's not even making it. He's just transferring it, actually, from one place in one place to another by some mystic trick, just like a magician. Just like a magician, he can transfer things to one place, and you can't see it. By sleight of hand, they can move something from one place to another, and it appears as if they've made it. But Krishna is creating all of the gold and all of the gold mines, all the diamonds and all the diamond mines, all of the opulences of the world. They're all emanating from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. He's the source of all incarnations. But if you don't have that knowledge, if you're not versed in Vedic science and Vedic knowledge, then very easily you'll be fooled by an imitation. It's like if you don't know how to recognize gold, the shopkeeper can tell if you don't know. They're so, especially in India, they're so expert at understanding, psyching you out and understanding if you know the price, if you know what's the value of the article, if it's actually gold. They can understand if you're not qualified. Then immediately they'll cheat you. Immediately they'll present something else that's not gold as gold. So because everyone, not only are they have no knowledge in Kali Yuga of who is God and what are the qualifications and the qualities of God, but they also want to be cheated because they don't want to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. And so that's why I say not only these imitation gods say that they're God, but they'll always tell you that you also can become God. So that's the catch that bewilders the people and attracts them to the, because they don't say yes. You have to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give up sense gratification. They won't tell you that. otherwise, they wouldn't get any followers. But if they tell you that yes, you can become God, then immediately they're having so many followers. And if they're producing some. The most famous one now is producing ashes. And I always tell, because it's very popular in Italy, actually. In the West, amongst all the Western countries, is probably the Western country where it is most popular. Many followers, especially where we preach. And actually, we preach to many groups of his followers. And many of them, a whole group of them became devotees recently. A whole group of them, when they finally realized that they still have his picture all over in their place, but they realize that Krishna consciousness is the real thing, is the actual process of spiritual life. But they were visited him many times. They have so many collections of ashes, special ashes. But they tell them, but anyone who's smoking, he's also producing so many ashes every day. If you're smoking, then you're making so many ashes. What is the thing of making so many ashes? The crematorium, they're producing ashes. Every day. So if you go to Swargadwar in Jagannath Puri, I remember when we were staying in Jagannath Puri, every single time we're walking by, there's always some burning going on, some fire. There's always a flame all day long. So ashes are coming out in great quantity. And they're coming out by explaining that, and they're actually much greater value, because these ashes, if you look at these ashes, then you remember that this body is simply will return into ashes, and you'll have to leave this body, and it'll better to concentrate on spiritual life and give up trying to enjoy something which is simply going to turn into a pile of ashes. Whereas those other ashes, they're simply bewildering people more and more into thinking that they're somehow, there's some happiness or pleasure in becoming God. That somehow just by making ashes you can become God. But actually God, the real God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of time, Kala, he's actually turning all of these bodies into ashes. And that's that, and proving that actually he's the supreme controller, because actually he's destroying all of these bodies that everyone is so attached to, as in the form of time. And he'll also turn that person who's producing the so-called magic ashes, he'll also turn that body into a pile of ashes and prove that he's, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Kala for these persons, the materialistic person, the atheistic person, the one who's trying to imitate Krishna, take the position of Krishna. So we should not foolish, we should preach very strongly against so-called incarnations. Prabhupada was quite very strong. You can read, I'm reading now his diary, the last volume of the diary of Harisari Prabhu. And Prabhupada is always preaching practically all the conversations and all the speaking, all is about scientists and Mayavadi. That's, he's just again and again and again, because these are the two personalities in Kali Yuga, the materialistic scientist who's trying to present that there is no God, that everything is simply happening by chance, and that we are just we have no identity, it's just this body. And the Mayavadi, or Mayavadi philosophy. Devamrita Maharaj was telling me yesterday that actually now the Indian Mayavadis, or so-called incarnations, they're not even popular anymore. That now the Westerners have taken the Mayavadi philosophy, and now they're becoming more and more famous. They said there's different famous personalities now in the West who the people are flocking to see, and they're just speaking the same nonsense, the same Mayavadi philosophy. And they say, well, I got a little idea from this Baba and that one up in Tibet or somewhere, but they're making themselves now as famous incarnations or expounders of Mayavadi philosophy. But the principle is always the same. It comes back always to the same, that you don't have to surrender to God. You don't have to serve. You can be the supreme enjoyer. I've arrived. I've made it as the supreme enjoyer. You also, if you follow me, you can also become. So all the fools, they're rushing into this to follow these false imitation gods. And and the real Vedic culture, the real Vedic knowledge is being, the people are shying away from that because it's Kali Yuga and people are inclined towards sense gratification. We know that. And I was asking him, he was telling me he had just come from South Africa, where most, and there was a Rath Yatra in Durban, it was mostly all Indian descent families. And he said all the young people, they all are simply completely absorbed in Western culture, so-called culture or non-culture. So they simply all want to be cool. They all want to follow really Western culture. They have no interest in Vedic culture. It's simply considered something for old people. So they're not interested. Some of them come to the temple, but just as kind of an official tradition, but completely attracted by, and ultimately, or materialistic scientists, which science or Mayavadi philosophy practically is bringing us to the same point. Because if one thinks himself to be God and the supreme enjoyer, then naturally, Prabhupada would say that they're very expert enjoying the illusion. They say everything is illusion, but they're very expert in enjoying this illusion. And none of them want to follow actually the actual strict principles that Shankaracharya was giving. They have a Mayavadi philosophy, but in the end, they simply come to sense gratification. And including the ultimate sense gratification of thinking that you're God. So in the end, or materialistic science or Mayavadi philosophy, in the end they just come back to the same point, which is simply mundane sense gratification, trying to squeeze some enjoyment out of something which will just be turned into ashes. Whereas a devotee of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, who's actually understood who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it is surrendering, is dedicating his life to surrendering completely and rendering service to Krishna and his representatives, then even though he may be going against the current, the flow of society, of this world, but we should be completely convinced. And that's why Srila Prabhupada dedicated his life to providing, giving us so many books, so we can be completely convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are meant to, our original identity is to render service and give pleasure to him. There's no other imitation God. We are not going to become God. We are tiny, insignificant particles of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And our only position, our only happiness, is to render service to his servants. And if we do that, then we'll not be bewildered, we'll not be confused by so-called imitation gods, and not and be able to give people the actual message of how they can become happy, how they can become relieved from the miseries of material life. Because these imitation gods, they're not giving any relief to the people of their material life. They're simply dragging them, as the Ishupanishad says, that they, one who's declaring himself to be God, then he'll go to hell. And one who's misleading others, then he'll go even farther, deeper down into hell. One who's misleading other people. Just to be a materialistic sense gratifier, we'll go to hell. But if you mislead other people into the false reality that we can become God, then you'll be into the deepest, darkest regions of hellish life. And those who follow you, will go to the same place. So I don't know too much about Prabhupada specifically even mentions here. Then you'll see in the next verse, who's ever going to speak tomorrow, specifically speaks about the Jain religion. I know it's a little delicate. In the West, we don't know really much about it so much because it's not at all present or prominent. But I know, especially here in Bombay, there's quite a big community here, I think. It's quite a bit large community. So I'll leave whoever is going to give class tomorrow can speak about that. All the shops here, all the people all around here. I never really, I'm sure if you're preaching here in Bombay, you must have studied all their philosophy. I've never really, someone explained it to me on a train, one man explained it to me on a train some years ago here in India, but I don't remember so much. It's basically the regular Mayavadi philosophy, that everything is all merged together in one hodgepodge, as Prabhupada would call it. Or they think they're imitate, Prabhupada would say they imitate Rishabhdev pulling their hairs out. But in the end is that they won't surrender to Krishna. The end of it all is they're trying to, by imitating in so many ways, to stop the laws of action and reaction, the laws of karma, by not breathing in, killing insects and so many things. But because they don't surrender to Krishna, because they don't want to surrender and serve Krishna, then still karma is there. You can't mechanically try to think by, you can stop the laws of karma. You don't breathe in the insect, but there's thousands of ants walking everywhere. You just have to step on one ant, and then you're bound up the laws of karma. And only, and Krishna says, only sarvadharman parityaja mame kang sharanam vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo moksha yashami mashucha. Only if you surrender to me that I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. There's no other way out. There's no other way out. Everyone is trying to find another way out of the suffering of material life, but there is no other way out. Krishna has perfectly built the whole system, the whole cosmic manifestation, in such a way that there's no other exit out of this material life except surrendering to him. And all of these other philosophies, all of these other illusions, they're all trying just on this one point, how I can get free of material suffering and enjoy without surrendering to Krishna. There's many complicated, many variations on the idea of the philosophy, but the essence is always the same. It all comes to that in the end. But Krishna is the most expert. One of his 64 qualities is he's the most expert. He's made a system, this whole cosmic manifestation, in such a way that the only way you can get out is by fully surrendering mind, body, words, and life and soul to him. And there's no other way to get out of the material suffering. Even you think, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they were convinced that they made it. They conquered the whole universe. They were right there. They were just, all they had to do was kill Vishnu, and they had it all. But they were just right, almost getting through the last little hole, and then boom, they were killed by Vishnu himself. So they were the most powerful materialist ever in the history of the universe, and they couldn't make it out. They couldn't do it. So what to speak of any of the foolish, rascal, small-time personalities of today? It's a hopeless hope, I would say, hoping against hope. They're hoping against hope that they're going to get some pleasure in this material world without surrendering to Krishna. And this is another case, another of the same story, the same problem. So we're very fortunate that if we can stay under the shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, under the shelter of the great souls like Radhanath Maharaj, Janani Vas Prabhu, I hope that he'll give class tomorrow, because we have to leave tomorrow night, so I hope I can hear him give class. So if anyone has any questions or comments. Or corrections. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.